Friends, grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to our visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome, and also welcome to those of you who are watching on Facebook Live. We are glad you're here too. At this time, I'd encourage anyone who has questions about our church or would like to give us a chance to know you better, you are welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card. Those are found in the seat rack in front of you. You can place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship. And of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. At this time, I'd also encourage you all to sign the fellowship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign and pass to your neighbor so you can greet any new faces by name during the peace or following worship. Now I'd like to draw your attention to our bulletin. We have announcements of upcoming events on the inside cover. In the commons, you'll find sheets that look like this. This is our June calendar. We're going to be producing some different calendars that will connect you with upcoming events and mission opportunities in the life of the church this summer. You can see some of those listed in the announcements, but know that as the seasons change, activities change, and we hope to keep you connected with what's going on. Of course, today we are celebrating the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, hence the red and the streamers. And thanks to our guest musicians, we appreciate the efforts of so many in the choir and our liturgical arts team for preparing us for today. Now I'd like to turn it over to you if any of you who have announcements might stand and share with the church. Thank you, Nell.
How's this? We finished our first week now at Camp AIM. We're serving about 35 counselors, and by the time we add all of the support staff and teachers and counselors, we're feeding about 60 per meal. So, of course, we're feeding breakfast, lunch, and an afternoon snack this year. The program is going amazingly well in my view. I added up some statistics this morning. Believe it or not, by the time we finish with the second week of Camp AIM, this church will have involved about 25 individual volunteers and will have contributed somewhere between 250 and 300 total hours of service to make certain this camp goes well. And the children are especially grateful. They never fail to shout out a thank you in the mornings and at lunch to let us know that our efforts and the food are appreciated. The staff is equally appreciative and expressive. And all things considered, it's just a wonderful experience for me personally. So I thank all of you who participate either on the scene or behind the scenes, and also for your prayers. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Roger, and for all our volunteers. And I have a brief request. I know we don't have everyone here today, but if you are a volunteer or have volunteered with Camp AIM, will you stand so we can embarrass you? That's great. Thank you all. Have a seat. I think you can see how much effort and energy and time goes into this. And thank you, Roger, as always, for your leadership. Are there any other announcements? Well, on this day where we expect the coming of God's Spirit to awaken us to the presence of God in our midst, let us worship. And let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbor.
Please stand for the call to worship. Holy Spirit, Creator, in the beginning you moved over the waters. From your breath all creation lives, and without you we are dust. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Counselor, by your inspiration, prophets spoke and acted in faith. You clothed them in power to announce your word. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, power, you came as fire to Jesus' disciples. You gave them voice before rulers of the world. Come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, sanctifier, you created us children of God. You make us a living temple of your presence. You intercede within us with sighs too deep for words. Come, Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, from whom we receive every good gift, send your Spirit to us with the power of a mighty wind. Open the horizons of minds by the flame of your wisdom. Loosen our tongues to sing your praise, for only in your Spirit can we reach your peace and confess Jesus is Lord. Amen. May be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. Almighty God, you poured your Spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new community of faith. We confess that we hold back the force of your Spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit and fill us with a burning desire to be your faithful people, doing your will for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. You did beat me. Come on down. We'll let Scott come too. He can count as a child. How are you all this morning? Good. It's good to see you. Do you see anything different in the church today?
Yeah, almost everything is red.
Almost everything is red. And it's hot colors up there.
First colors of the rainbow.
Yeah, the first colors of the rainbow. That's great. That's getting beyond where we're going today.
The first color in the rainbow is red.
The first color is red, yeah. What do you see?
I know it's Pentecost.
You know it's Pentecost. Because it's all red. I think we're done here, right? What were you going to say, Andrew?
This was the day all the disciples, their tongues were on fire.
Yeah, the disciples, there's a funny word in the Bible that said there were tongues of fire that came down, and it's like this fire that was over their heads. And can you see out there? Does it look like there's fire over everyone's heads?
No.
No. Well, we did our best. All right. So most every Sunday when you come up here, we talk about Jesus, right? We talk about Jesus because he shows us who God is. He's God in the flesh. And so when we're here at church and we're worshiping God and learning things in the Bible, it's Jesus who teaches us. But today is a little bit different. Right? Because after Easter, it's Pentecost Day. You're exactly right. After Easter, Jesus goes up into heaven and the disciples are left by themselves. So if Jesus is gone, how do they know about God? And how can they go out and tell all the people out in the world about God too? Do you know the answer? How do disciples get to tell other people about God? It's okay to say we don't know. What were you going to say, Andrew? Praying. And one of the reasons that we're able to pray is that on the day of Pentecost, this day where we dress in red and put all these red things out in the church, is that God's orange and red and yellow is that God's Spirit comes and it almost looks like fire. And so the disciples know that even though Jesus is gone, that God is with them and gives them the ability to speak the word, to say wonderful things, to pray, to sing, to do all the things we do together as people of faith. Here. So I thank you for helping to share this story because I think that's a sign that God's Spirit is with us as we worship today. Can we pray quietly together? Can we sit together and close our eyes and put our hands together? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your Spirit, for being near to us and helping us to be your people. Be with us as we worship and discover your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your help this morning. Can you hold still for just a second while we say goodbye? As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let us bless them saying, God be with you there and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Listen for God's word. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. In Acts, it is the day of Pentecost. The disciples have gathered to worship in a traditional festival, and then all of a sudden, the presence of God appears in a new way. From the book of Acts, listen for God's word to you. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these all who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome and Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the men of Judea, "And all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I have to say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, in signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, let your Spirit come upon us as upon your disciples, to awaken us to your presence and to resolve all the dissonant strains of our hearts into the harmony of your love. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You will try anything to quiet a sleeping baby. This is what I've been telling myself as we're preparing for baby number 3. So every night as I lay my head down on my pillow, I think, how many more days before I do just this thing and the baby starts to cry, because that's always when the baby starts to cry. When Ellie, our oldest, was born, I had sole responsibility for her on my day off. I'm not sure that was a good thing. Our morning routine was arranged as an elaborate ritual to prevent the baby from crying. It would include a feeding, a walk, a nap, another walk, a bottle, a walk. In the afternoons, the routine didn't seem to accomplish much, and as we were living in the city of Indianapolis for a while, they had a great art museum on the other side of town, so we would drive across town and go from gallery to gallery, hoping that the peace of that place would transmit to the baby as if through osmosis. After Ellie became too loud, and believe me, she got pretty loud in that quiet space, we'd hop into the car, we'd find some music on the radio. Eventually, we settled on the NPR jazz station. Jazz was not my choice or preference, it was Ellie's. She became quiet all of a sudden at the irregular beats, the improvisations, the sometimes discordant and jarring sounds. The more cacophonous it became, the more it quieted her. Like there was peace to be found in many instruments calling out all at once. I confess that I don't know much about jazz. But I know that it's an amalgam of several different cultural and musical strains that coalesced into something new. There are African musical traditions and folk music, blues and ragtime, classical and band music all grew into an original and organic art form. And in this way, jazz is kind of like the musical version of Pentecost, an amalgam of different peoples and influences formed into one new reality. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, you get the picture. All at Pentecost, hear the disciples of Jesus proclaim the gospel by the power of God's Spirit, and they hear it in their own language, no matter where they come from. And all of this is God's new move to form an emblematic community that's inclusive of the entire world and all its peoples. At first, the noise of Pentecost was cacophonous. People from all over the world had converged on Jerusalem for a religious festival, a celebration of the harvest some 50 days after Passover. There were several harvest festivals in Jerusalem, one of which included an offering of new wine, hence the offhand comment from the crowd wondering if this is the source of the noise. But you can imagine the excitement of this religious festival, of people converging on this one place and shaking it all together in one new religious cocktail. And it's just as all this is happening that there's the sound of a rushing wind and the cacophony of many people speaking in their own tongues and languages being heard in the familiar words of all who were gathered. This is just what Pentecost is. Out of noise comes the music of God. So an early evangelist for jazz was George Gershwin, who composed his own kind of Pentecost by combining the rhythms and tones and cadences of jazz into the province of a classical orchestra. Gershwin grew up in an immigrant family in New York, and he gained interest in music and began to work in the city's jazz district. The jazz district was called Tin Pan Alley because the sounds of so many pianos banging out different musical strains sounded like the racket made by pounding on tin pans. The Gershwin became famous for just this kind of music. You've probably heard some of it, especially Rhapsody in Blue, maybe his most famous piece, now used in commercials for United Airlines. Gershwin describes the inspiration of the piece as it came from listening to the metal clatter of a train. He said, I was on the train when with its steely rhythms, its rattledy bang that's so often stimulating to a composer, I frequently hear music in the very heart of noise. And there suddenly I heard and even saw on paper the complete construction of the Rhapsody from beginning to end. No new themes came to me, but I worked on the thematic material already in my mind and tried to conceive the composition as a whole. I heard it as a sort of musical kaleidoscope of America, our vast melting pot of our unduplicated national pep, of our metropolitan madness. By the time I reached Boston, I had a definite plot of the piece as distinguished from its actual substance. The presence of God and the Holy Spirit is often described as a kind of inspiration, where all of a sudden the noise of the world turns into music, and the randomness of life events revealed as the providence of God. This is the God who does things like appear in surprising places, even religious festivals, and turning kaleidoscopic peoples into a new reality. So it can happen at church or on a train ride. The theologian Karl Barth said, the revelation of God can appear in things as different as a Mozart flute concerto, the Russian Revolution, or a dead dog. So the people of the first Pentecost had no idea what to expect. They thought they were going to church just like you. Then they experienced the presence of God as confusion and noise, at least at first. People wondered why these Galilean disciples of Jesus from this backwater could all of a sudden speak languages from all over the world. Of course, they wondered if they had been consumed by the wine. And so what had been a familiar and expected celebration became something entirely new. Something that the people had heard before all of a sudden became music in a new way. In 1966, the legendary jazz saxophonist John Coltrane gave a concert at Temple University in the form of free jazz. If you know anything about jazz, my apologies if you don't. Pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Whereas traditional jazz, if there is such a thing, relied on common chords and structure and everyone playing from the same kind of bass, free jazz was more uneven and inspired. It's like the difference between church and Holy Spirit church. Richard Brody, who's a music critic for The New Yorker, describes it this way. He says, there's a temptation to consider free jazz as a kind of freedom from structures and formats and pre-existing patterns of any sort. But it's also a sort of freedom, too. Freedom to musical disinhibition of tone, vehemence, and fervor, as well as freedom to invent. These are Holy Spirit words. That's not what Brody says. The word freedom meant something particular to black Americans in the 1960s. Brody says they didn't have it. And there's an implicit, sometimes explicit, political idea in free jazz, a freedom from European styles, a freedom to seek African and other musical heritages, and also a freedom to cross-pollinate jazz with other arts. In the process, jazz musicians developed new forms and new moods that reflected a new generation's experiences and ideals. Maybe what the people of the first Pentecost heard was something like Coltrane's jazz. It was a song they recognized, but it was out of context. It confused them. It confused them because it announced a new kind of world, a new kind of community, one that reflected a different generation's ideals and experiences. Peter stands up, and he begins to clarify. He says that the prophet Joel one time promised a new kind of music when God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. In this new kind of reign of God, then, there's a promise of something different that eradicates the old kinds of social relationships that alienate people from one another. And this new community that is formed is the church. The implication of Peter's sermon is clear, that the miraculous events of noise and speech are nothing less than the coming of God's Spirit to announce a new kind of world to people in need. God is intervening in creation to restore what was lost. A new kind of community is formed that will serve as an antidote to all the forms and empires of the past. This is the birth of the church. The prophecy ends with the assurance of God, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God is present now. There's a question.